What do the most successful growing businesses have in common? They're working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started. You're a growing business and you can't afford to slow down. If anything, you could probably use a few more hours in the day. That's why the most successful growing businesses are working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens, with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Start a call instantly in huddles and ditch cumbersome calendar invites. Or build an automation with Workflow Builder to take routine tasks off your plate. No coding required. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.
High stakes diplomacy as the U.S. tries to talk Russia out of an invasion of Ukraine, plus Intel announces billions in U.S. chip-making investments.
We used to think of Intel as synonymous with chips. It's since been eclipsed in terms of market cap. So this is really a big investment to try to catch up and retake the lead.
And as climate risks intensify, some insurers drop wildfire coverage. Could it be a sign of what's to come? It's Friday, January 21st. I'm Luke Vargas with The Wall Street Journal. Here's the AM edition of What's News, the top headlines and business stories moving your world today. U.S. Secretary of State Antony Blinken is meeting today with his Russian counterpart, Sergei Lavrov, in a last-ditch effort to avert a possible Russian invasion of Ukraine. Kremlin spokesman Dmitry Peskov said today that Moscow knew all along that America's top diplomat had no intention of handing over written responses to Russia's request for security guarantees. This includes a pledge to halt NATO expansion to additional countries in Eastern Europe, which the U.S. has thus far rejected. Former U.S. Ambassador to Georgia, Ian Kelly, believes some compromise may be needed to achieve de-escalation.
So if there's any kind of talk about further discussions on stationing of forces, of NATO forces, where they go and what kind of capabilities they have, that I will take as a real hopeful sign that indeed they're looking for any kind of win that will enable them not to do this horrible thing, which is to invade a sovereign country.
Peskov says today's meeting will discuss previous negotiations surrounding the crisis and that Moscow is hoping to receive written responses in the coming days. The U.S. Justice Department has charged four Belarusian government officials with aircraft piracy. The indictment also accused the officials of conspiring to cover up a fake bomb plot, which forced a Ryanair flight to make an emergency landing in Minsk last year and enabled Belarusian security services to arrest a dissident journalist. Prosecutors say the alleged conspiracy violated international norms and potentially endangered four U.S. citizens and other passengers on board. Netflix shares have fallen sharply in after-hours trading after the company issued a disappointing forecast for subscriber growth. Executives chalked up the slowdown in new paying viewers to ongoing economic difficulties in some parts of the world. And Netflix isn't alone in contending with flagging demand for its products. Shares of home workout company Peloton have dropped more than 20% overnight after its CEO warned of layoffs as it adapts to more seasonal demand for its equipment. Peloton's shares have tumbled more than 80% over the past year. And today marks 2 years since the confirmation of the first COVID-19 case in the United States. The anniversary comes as U.S. hospitals in several early Omicron hotspots, including New York and Washington, D.C., report a decline in patient numbers and an easing of staffing shortages. However, the nationwide pandemic outlook is more mixed, especially in states with low vaccination rates, where many hospitals remain near capacity. Intel is planning to invest at least $20 billion in a new chip-making factory in Ohio, according to sources. That's on top of the more than $100 billion in chip-making investments it's already announced in the last year. And it comes amid a global chip shortage, which has amplified the need for more manufacturing. For more on the story, we're joined by markets editor Alex Frangos. Hi, Alex.
Hey, good morning.
First off, what do we know about these plans in Ohio?
Well, they're big. It's up to $20 billion in Columbus, Ohio, 3,000 jobs, according to the Wall Street Journal this morning. And it's part of a much bigger investment plan by Intel and by basically chip makers around the world to boost the supply of these chips that are in just about everything and for which there is a huge shortage right now. So it's a pretty big deal.
On that global chip shortage, how significant are investments like these for the industry and its supply chain right now?
Well, it's important, but honestly, like $20 billion is not that much. There's, you know, over a couple hundred billion dollars worth of investment going on around the world from big chip makers like Samsung and TSMC and NVIDIA and Intel and others to address this this problem, which is, you know, the pandemic hit and there was a huge amount of demand for goods. And there weren't enough chips. And it turns out that they weren't investing enough even before the pandemic. And so now they're making up for lost time.
And bigger picture, are there any signs that the global chip crunch could be letting up?
It's not as bad now as it was last year, but these things go into everything, cars especially. Those are basically computers on wheels, your refrigerator, your smartphone. And there's been huge demand for those things coming out of the pandemic. So, you know, industry people think that there will continue to be a shortage this year and even into next.
That was Markets editor Alex Frangos. Alex, thanks for being with us.
Great to be here.
Coming up, as climate change risks intensify, some insurers are now backing out of high-risk markets, raising questions about whose role it is to protect consumers. We've got more on that after the break. Flooding, wildfires, and tornadoes are just some of the many weather disasters that have destroyed homes and businesses in recent years. And as climate change intensifies, that's not likely to change anytime soon. That's prompted some insurers now in California to stop insuring some pricey homes against increasingly frequent wildfires, and prompting a heated debate over whose role it is to protect against climate change-related risks. Joining us with more is Journal News editor Leslie Sism. Hi, Leslie.
Hello.
Could you tell us a little bit about these latest moves that you've reported on from two insurers, AIG and Chubb in California?
Yes. AIG and Chubb are specialists in insuring basically rich people, you know, homes that are $10 million and more. They have decided they've got too much wildfire risk. They're both basically complaining that they can't get all of the rate increases they feel they need or not as quickly as they need. So each is pulling back on the number of people they're insuring. AIG is going further than Chubb. AIG is saying, we're not going to sell any new policies in the state, regardless of where they are, part of a regular homeowner's business. However, AIG, like a lot of big insurers, has what's called a non-admitted, it's a lesser regulated unit in what's called the excess and surplus market. And so it says it will offer policies to some of the people it's letting go through this more expensive other unit.
So where does this leave some homeowners who are at an increased risk of wildfires in California?
This is unfolding really as we speak. Just as I was doing my reporting on this story, I was actually the bearer of bad news to some of the AIG policyholders who hadn't even heard from AIG, as AIG's just starting to get the notices out to all the brokers. So it's a little unclear where all these people will end up. Some of them will be going to this excess and surplus market I referred to, where the policies could easily be three, four, five times more expensive what they're paying right now, with possibly less coverage. But it's even unclear whether this excess and surplus market has enough capacity or desire to take on everybody who's being let go. At AIG, we're talking somewhere around 9,000 people. It's unclear how many people at Chubb are going to be non-renewed.
Leslie, McKinsey had a report in 2020 suggesting that insurers are perhaps underestimating climate risks because their catastrophe models were based on historic data and not on future prognosis. Is it likely more insurers are going to increase rates as they become more in tune to these climate risks?
A lot of insurers in the various wildfire-prone states out west already are trying to get rate increases. So a lot of that is happening right now. A lot of the big insurers do use sophisticated catastrophe modeling, at least internally, to help them figure out where they want to insure homes and where they don't want to insure homes. One of the problems in California is that the state doesn't allow the insurers to use these models in the process of asking for a rate increase. The state has this very rigid procedure where they have to use past experience, so actual losses. That's what's frustrated AIG a lot out there. In a lot of other states, these insurers already use catastrophe modeling as part of their rate setting. And as long as they feel they're getting the rate increases from the regulators, they are willing to stay.
Is this dynamic only pertaining to wildfires, or are you seeing it with respect to other climate risks as well?
Wildfire is really the center of it. Hurricane damage, of course, is a big worry in the industry, but that is covered by a very large array of companies, and on a state-by-state basis in the southeast and the coastal areas, there are some specific state laws and specific programs, these last resort insurers and some other things to sort of ensure that ordinary homeowners can get insurance and at a fairly affordable price. But wildfire definitely is the leading edge of the problems, and partly because the problem has emerged as so severe in the last few years, whereas the issue of hurricanes is something the industry's dealt with really over decades and decades. So it's a little more prepared in how it approaches that risk.
So not every insurer is running away from climate change associated risks.
That's correct. The insurers right now feel they can figure out the pricing of it with the help of these sophisticated models that just help them to know every single detail about a single property, the slope around it, the vegetation around it, the proximity to fire hydrants or other water sources, the quality, the roof. These models can incorporate a ton of detail about the properties so the insurers can be choosy. So then if they can get the right rate for it, they're willing to do it. But right now, some of the states are protective of their homeowners and don't want to shock them with higher rates. So they're telling the insurance companies, we're going to have to let you build up to anything gradually, but you just can't come in here with a 50, 60, 70% increase. But if the insurers can get those increases, they're often willing to sell it. And if those prices are out there, it is starting to influence where people live in California and some other places. If they want to buy a house and then they find out they can afford the mortgage, but they can't afford the insurance policy, that's going to affect where people build going forward.
Fascinating to think about all those extra considerations that are going into buying a home in the future. Leslie Sism is a news editor for the Journal. Leslie, thanks so much.
My pleasure. Thank you.
And finally, divers have discovered a pristine coral reef off the coast of Tahiti, a potentially valuable discovery that could shed new light on the state of coral growth in a previously unmapped part of the ocean. Technological advancements enabled divers equipped with special tanks to reach the corals, which were some 200 feet below the ocean surface. The Journal spoke to UNESCO's head of marine policy, Julian Barbaire, about the reef.
Those big structures, I mean, some of them, they look a bit like giant roses, right? Some are actually 2 meters across. So they're very spectacular. And what's even more spectacular is that you have, as far as the eye can see, this is an uninterrupted coral growth.
Deeper waters and less exposure to human activity might have protected the reef in what scientists call the ocean's twilight zone. And that's What's News for Friday morning. We'll be back tonight with a new show. I'm Luke Vargas with The Wall Street Journal. Have a great weekend, and thanks for listening.
What do the most successful growing businesses have in common? They're working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.